WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Tonight, 2 vice presidential hopefuls go head-to-head, all on primetime television. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In the Democrats' corner, 2-term Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. And in the Republican corner, junior senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance.
This is a radical human being who comes from the far left wing of the Democrat Party. And what Kamala Harris is telling all of us by selecting Tim Walz is that she bends the knee to the far left of the Democrat Party. She's done it every single time in government. She's done it in who she selected as her VP nominee. And she will do it if the American people give her a promotion to President of the United States.
Like all regular people I grew up with in the heartland, J.D. studied at Yale. Had his career funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then wrote a bestseller trashing that community. Come on! That's not what middle America is. And I gotta tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
Walz and Vance face off tonight in what will be their only vice presidential debate. What does a winning strategy look like when you're trying to convince American voters of your VP credentials? We sat down with political scientist Tabitha Bonilla, an associate professor at Northwestern University who focuses on political messaging and voting behavior. And she started off with why this particular VP debate is so important.
So VP debates are interesting because neither candidate sets the agenda. They're not the top of the ticket. And they're typically less interesting. But I think this one people are paying attention to for a couple of reasons. First, I think because of who is debating, I think J.D. Vance has a net negative favorability rating and Tim Walz has a net positive favorability rating. And so there's a discrepancy in how the public is viewing the candidates. But I think more importantly, this is likely to be the final debate of this election cycle. And mm-hmm. it's drawing more attention because of that in and of itself.
Our last chance to see the two campaigns go head to head in some way.
Exactly.
So here's a quick rundown of the rules of the 90-minute debate. So no audience, no opening statements. Candidates cannot bring pre-written notes or any props on stage. No topics or questions will be shared with the campaigns ahead of time. These are more or less the same rules that we saw in the presidential debates, with one difference here. The microphones will be live throughout the debate and not muted when the opponent is speaking. So what do you think that could change, maybe, as far as strategy goes, Professor?
Yeah. So interestingly, the Harris-Walz campaign was pushing for these hot mics in the presidential debate. And so I think the hope that they have is that they can pick up the Republican side saying something that's maybe upsetting to voters, maybe something like a single cat lady comment that people take and run with. But I think the other thing that hot mics do is it allows opportunity for crosstalk, which I think a lot of people mm-hmm. have missed from the debates, where you can't respond or talk directly to each other, which right. I think is kind of a traditional hallmark of what we think debates are, right?
But the thing is, though, in the presidential debate, I feel like we did see a little bit of that anyway,
sure.
right? Even with mics so-called muted.
Yeah.
There were lots of moments where Trump sort of interjected in the middle of Kamala Harris speaking and vice versa. She did the same.
Right. And she uses her face a lot, right? When she reacts.
Her face did the talking.
Right. She did this in 2020 also. And I think there's a ton of memes of her doing this. So I think you're right. I don't think that the mics will actually make that much of a difference. I also think it makes it harder for moderators because sometimes when you get a lot of crosstalk, then they have to interject themselves and then there can be a lot of reactions from the public, right? Did you let this person talk too much? You let them run over the other person?
That's
and
right.
on the flip side, then you know, candidates can come across weaker or perhaps as a bully if you are the one talking over. So I think there's a lot more to think about and consider. Yeah.
Interesting. So before we dive into specifics on each candidate, what overall vulnerabilities do you see on either side that you think each opponent is going to take aim at?
Yeah, I think for J.D. Vance, there's been, he has a lot of off-the-cuff comments. I think probably some of the biggest ones have been about women. So I think like the single cat lady comment type thing will probably come up, right? Tim Walz is going to challenge him. And I think in polling, women in general as a whole have been really upset about Republican policies. And I think Tim Walz will bring that up. For the Democrats, I think a lot of younger people of color in particular have mm-hmm. been less active this campaign cycle than they have been in previous campaign cycles. There's also a huge gender gap. So young men, particularly young men of color, are not as eager to vote for mm-hmm. Democrats. And okay. so I think that's a really big vulnerability where I think it's less likely, though possible, that Republicans are going to sway them in mass numbers to their side. I think the bigger thing is the Democrats really have to mobilize these key voters who showed up in 2020 and who very well may not in 2024.
These are good points. Tim Walz is a two-term governor. J.D. Vance is a junior senator, only really entering national politics when we saw him getting sworn in January of last year. But Vance has had this head start on the campaign trail, Professor, and Walz really just joined late this summer. Who do you think has the edge here as far as, you know, getting their messaging across?
I think that's hard to say because they're both speaking to very different audiences. So I think J.D. Vance kind of came up in this conservative media scene. He really likes to be in these, like, combative interviews, and he enjoys them. And so he's been really visible, honestly, I think, since 2016 when he first came into the public eye. And Tim Walz, as you've said, you know, not only has been elected for longer, but he's not been in public attention as long. And I think that's exactly right. He's quieter. But I think this kind of has worked in his favor, right? He's seen more favorably by the public. I think there's a lot of effort by the Democrat campaign to make him feel more relatable. He's a dad. He's a teacher. He's a coach. And so I think all this effort has actually maybe been in Tim Walz's favor because there's less opportunity for people to talk negatively about him or to find fault with what he's saying.
Yeah, speaking of Coach Walz, I mean, in her introduction of him at a rally in Philadelphia in August, Harris kept referring to him as that, Coach Walz, right? And really just played up his educator background. What do you make of that strategy?
Yeah, I think it's a reminder that, you know, they're trying to be there for the everyday person. I think that's been a huge theme of the Democrats. And so if they can say, like, we have this Midwestern dad figure who coached the Little League team or, you know, whatever. I think that makes him feel more relatable to the average voter and more, hopefully, more confident that the Democrats are going to do what they want them to do. So I think that's the strategy.
Yeah, and I think back to when Joe Biden first stepped down and endorsed Kamala Harris to replace him. Opinions immediately started to swirl about, like, who is she going to pick? Who's going to be her running mate? I don't think Walz was immediately a leading contender for that job, but ultimately, of course, he won Harris over. What do you think it was that made him successful?
Yeah, I think a lot of the names that first came across were people who swing state, people like Shapiro, who they thought could maybe help the Democrats get over the edge. But I think the math doesn't really suggest that VP candidates tend to bring in a lot of voters. Mm. I suspect it was a personality issue. I think she probably found Walz super likable. He seems to be very relatable. Yeah. And it may have just been a personal connection that they shared.
And what you said earlier too, he's appealing to voters that she might be struggling to reach.
I think that's right.
So when Donald Trump was president years back, he had a different vice president by his side, as we remember, Mike Pence. This time around, he's hoping to take J.D. Vance to the finish line. In what ways would you say Vance's political priorities maybe better align with Trump than Pence's?
Yeah, so I think the choice of Pence initially in 2016 was to kind of help balance out this candidate and to bring in someone who is more conventional among the Republicans. And I think at this point, Trump already has been elected. He's already been in public eye. Clearly, he's successful. And I think the idea was he didn't need to be balanced out in the same ways that he did in 2016, and they didn't need this conventional Republican figure. And so I think it seems like they did double down, find someone who is very aligned with Trump's views, and in some ways, I think even more extreme.
Oh, he's super focused on immigration, the economy, trade, right?
Yep. And similarly, I think has a similar speaking style to Trump, right? He's not afraid to speak off the cuff. He's not afraid to call out groups of people, and he does so. And so I think they're almost
the same person.
Right, exactly. So the idea is Trump works, he sells. Why not keep going with that?
When it comes to this choice, Walz or Vance, how much is age a factor here, if at all? What do you think? Or is it just an experience thing?
I wonder more than age or experience if it's really about public appeal and what people are doing. And I think, you know, Tim Walz is not that much older than Harris. Mm-hmm. And I think Vance is much younger than Trump. But I don't know if that was really the goal as much as it was to say, like, we're picking someone who we think is relatable to our voters, who will signal what our values are, and who will help us kind of communicate this message that we're trying to communicate.
And as we alluded to earlier, I mean, neither candidate was wildly popular on a national scale, right? And I think it's safe to say that unless you lived in Ohio or you live in Minnesota, you might not have been familiar with either of them until their hats were officially thrown in this ring. But does any of that matter at this point, in your view?
Yeah, I don't know if it does. And I think J.D. Vance actually might have more of a recognizability advantage. I think partly because of the public awareness of hillbilly elegy after the 2016 election. There's a Netflix series, right? He came out and talked about that. So he had a very different kind of public presence than Walz. And so I think that might appeal to the voter bloc that Vance is speaking to. But I do think that Walz's relative newcomer background is probably quite helpful.
What do you think voters are looking for when they watch these debates? So tonight, we're all going to tune in at 8 o'clock. I mean, is it policy? Is it demeanor? Likeability? Something else?
Probably all of the above.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think very few voters are showing up to this debate without an idea of which side they're preferring. At this point, I think it's typically less than 10% of people don't know who they support.
And so no one's really going to sway voters to their side tonight.
Likely not, unless someone does something particularly surprising or says something particularly unexpected. I think debates really just kind of give you a snapshot of what you've learned so far. Maybe, best case scenario, either the candidates will convince someone that it's important enough for them to leave their house and actually go vote in November.
Right. Leave us with this. What advice would you give each of these candidates before they take the stage tonight? Like, what do you think maybe their number one objective should be?
I think for J.D. Vance, he probably should watch his comments on women in particular. I think the polls show they've been not particularly happy with some of the comments he's made with the past. So no more single cat lady comments. And I think for Walz, he really needs to work on mobilizing these younger voters of color, particularly young men of color. So whatever he can do to energize and appeal to that population.
That's Tabitha Bonilla, who's a political scientist and associate professor at Northwestern University. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by me and Meha Ahmed, and it was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Micah Yasin. For more conversations on news, politics, and culture, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if you need more Reset in your life, sign up for our free twice-a-week newsletter for show highlights and what's happening around Chicago. Find it at wbez.org/resetnews. That's it for today. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.